Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
And a late scratching of Brendan Delaney with Dan Malecki, one of the busiest men in racing, taking a seat on the panel this morning. But firstly, I'll welcome in Dino after a terrific day's racing at Caulfield yesterday and obviously some highlights with some great racing at Randwick also, Dino.
Yeah, it certainly was, Warren. It was a terrific day of racing, and I think the Victorian industry should be proud of what we put on yesterday with the Breeders' Day, and I think the showdown being the feature race, we wanted the form to be justified a little bit, and the Blue Diamond form stood right up.
Yeah, good point, Dino. And Dan, as I welcome you in, it's good to see that the Blue Diamond form holding up well in Sydney, but also obviously through the showdown yesterday. How did you enjoy yesterday, Dan?
It was terrific. Right across Australia, there was, on mainland Australia, there were black type races at a minimum in every state yesterday, and there were lots of highlights. And as you said, in Victoria, for what we were able to create, it was a terrific race day, wasn't it? Lots of prize money on offer. Very competitive racing, which is important. I don't think there's going to be too many races we're going to complain about the slow speed. In fact, in a couple of races, they might have overdone it. That's not something that you hear too often when you're reviewing the card. But you're right about the finance Tycoon, Blue Diamond, and when he'd been to the Magic Millions, it was a nose from Animo in the Blue Diamond, and surely that's as good a form as there is. Animo Connections, I saw yesterday, have decided to pull the pin on the rest of his prep, and he'll be missing from next week's Champagne.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of people taking the opportunity to run in that race now that there's an opportunity that they don't have to take on Animo. We'll get to the Caulfield card shortly, but four Group 1s at Randwick yesterday. We'll lead off the review talking about those Group 1s, headed by the Queen Elizabeth, the much-anticipated rematch of Adaeb and Very Elegant.
And now Very Elegant moved up to Adaeb. They beat off Delisan. Two further back to Sir Dragon A. It's Adaeb. He's fighting Very Elegant the outside. She's trying her hardest. It's Adaeb and Very Elegant in a ripping finish. Adaeb's lifting. He fends off Very Elegant and Delisan. And Adaeb goes back to back. The Beast of Britain's done it. Adaeb by three quarters to Very Elegant. Delisan third.
Well, we've had the Winx era, Dino, of dominance. I think it's great when there's rivalries of horses of a very elite level, and then they we get to, you know, you have a team Adaeb, you have a team Very Elegant, and that race lived up to everything that was marketed to be yesterday.
It did, Warren, with every runner being virtually competitive and in a winning chance with 200 to go. But the eyes were on the two horses that, you know, had been dueling now for a bit over 12 months, and it was such a tactical battle early. And I think that last week we lauded James McDonald for getting to the outside of Eduardo. Well, this week it was Tom Marquand getting to the outside of Very Elegant. And the one thing that seems a constant with Very Elegant when she does over race is that she's got horses around her and she's better on the outside of horses. And Tom Marquand was having none of that early. He went around her. And once she was fired up, then he rolled forward, and it was a fascinating race.
It was. What type of options, to your eye, would James McDonald have had?
Well, out of the gates, he probably didn't expect that Adaeb would be, you know, funneling behind him and then going around him. So Adaeb probably began three quarters of a length behind Very Elegant. I thought he could have stayed out. I mean, he wasn't getting pressured from the inside, and he stayed out to the overhead shot showed that he stayed out to one off the rail. He could have nearly stayed out to three wide in that sort of tactical battle. But yeah, once Delisan crossed her, it was evident that she wasn't very happy in there, and that's when Tom Marquand made his move as they went around that 1600 metre turn to get straight on her outside.
Thoughts, Dan?
Well, it looked like it was going to be pretty messy early. I mean, they really walked that first few hundred metres, 2.5 overall time. Very Elegant after 50 metres was in second spot. Such was the slowness of the speed. And then when Adaeb went up, it looked like it could have been ugly for Tommy Marquand at one stage there, because he ended up three wide and he had to make a decision. And obviously it was the correct decision with those blinkers on. Very Elegant ended up back second last at that stage. So, I mean, they all had their chance. As Dean said, it was very competitive from top to tail there, 2.6 lengths over the field. And as they fanned in the straight, they were almost stretched directly across the track. I mean, Adaeb's got a great heart. Very Elegant was terrific. And look, Delisan, I read where Kieran McAvoy thought he wasn't suited being in front. Well, I thought it was a fantastic run and as good a run as he's put in maybe throughout his whole career to fight on and run a solid third and think it's over despite having an interrupted prep. Hasn't it come to the fore? We probably have to really consider him as a genuine Group 1 horse now.
Kieran McAvoy got suspended, Dino, for his ride on Dallas Ann. Careless riding at about the 1,600 metre mark and shifted in when not clear of Very Elegant, who had to be steadied. And may well have, although she's got a habit of over-racing, that probably wouldn't help a horse like Very Elegant having that type of interference at that stage of the race, Dean.
Exactly. And it was a bit what we were talking about there, that James McDonald was trying to stay out, you can see. And Kieran was edging across ever so slowly. And probably because Very Elegant didn't have cover, she'd raced up inside his heels a bit, and he looked a bit late, Kieran, and hence he got the suspension. But just pick up on Dan's point there about think it's over. I actually thought had he got the clear running at the top of the straight, he got held up for probably 7 or 8 strides, and in a race of such competitive nature, I certainly think it cost him at least a position, and he has proven that he's right up to this level.
A great clash between Adabe and Very Elegant, but as the boys have outlined, a real quality behind with perhaps Think It Over being able to progress on for Kerry Parker in subsequent preparations to be a factor in some absolute elite races, already a Group 1 winner. The first Group 1 on the card at Randwick yesterday was the Oaks. Hungry Heart was coming from a win in the Vinery.
Hungry Heart moves up strongly on the outside. Amaralina runs on from Monophilia. Hungry Heart takes the lead of the 200 by a length and a half to Amaralina. Bargain into the clear now. Hungry Heart in front. Dewis is getting a late split, but Hungry Heart in front of Dewis and Bargain, and Hungry Heart goes on to win the Australian Oaks. What a length to Dewis. Bargain third. Then came Amaralina.
Dan, how did you see this race panning out?
Well, pace was okay. Harmony Rose did overdo it. I mean, if you were on her, I'm not sure you would have felt that comfortable because she didn't settle and it was seen that she didn't run out the trip as a result. But pace wasn't that strong and allowed for a wave of horses to loom up. And Hungry Heart, she just tracked up into the race beautifully. Amaralina seemed to have her chance. And you had the balance of the Group 1 fillies form against the Adrian Knox and the horses coming through more restricted grade. And in the end, it was the Group 1 form defeating the probably the genuine stayers, second and third duets, and Bargain was solid. But gee, Hungry Heart, I don't know, Dean, and even Warren, whether or not we ever considered her to be a staying type of filly. I know at 3 sometimes they can get away with it, but she was as strong as anything at the end of that 2,400 metres yesterday, and she's gone from a really good filly that we at one stage thought we may have overrated to being running second in a few big races to ending up winning 2 of the better staying 3-year-old fillies races throughout the season at 2,000 and 2,400, a dual Group 1 winner now. I thought it was a mighty effort, and the class filly came to the fore. Amaralina, perhaps at the end of her prep, she went well enough. Montefilia solid, but she sort of has been all campaign there. And then the race probably tails off a little bit. But I thought she ran right up to her win in the Vinery the start before. And I don't know future-wise whether a 2,400 meter is going to be her go, whether she'd be a Caulfield Cup type of horse, but she's certainly going to be a classic type of mare.
Your thoughts on the Oaks, Dean?
Yeah, well, I was a little bit worried about the horses from the Vinery after such a hard race, and one stood up in Hungry Heart, and one obviously didn't in Harmony Rose. But, yeah, just the genius of Waller, you know, a few, and I was probably one that thought she was a bit overrated for her grade, but, you know, he was just working towards a plan, and the last 3 runs, it's all come together, you know, magnificently for her with 2 Group 1 wins and the far lap as well. So, yeah, she's a very good filly. I don't know if we'd see her again at 2,400 metres, but, you know, she got the job done yesterday and was too good for, as Dan said, probably the more staying fillies. And I think Amaralina, that track just had that little bit of give out of it yesterday, and I think she's right on top of the ground, is her absolute best looking at her New Zealand runs.
Natoya and Probabil went toe-to-toe. Natoya just grabbing Probabil late in the Queen of the Turf.
Probabil responds to the urging. Got a length clear from Quantum Mechanic. Natoya's running on. It's Probabil in front. From Natoya going to second. Probabil a half in front to Natoya. She's coming hard, Natoya. Going to Probabil, and Natoya got up to win it. Natoya, a last stride victory in the Queen of the Turf. Edged out the favourite, Probabil. Quantum Mechanic third from Van...
earning some beer, pink champagne and pizza, Dino, what other motivation would you need to be able to winning at Randwick?
Exactly right, Warren. And she's only got to get in that sort of spot and she can do the rest. We've seen her do it in mile races at Randwick over a couple of seasons. She won the big mile, was obviously won the Doncaster, but she won a good fillies and mares race a couple of years ago. But she's often got too much to do. But yesterday, you could tell it about the 300. She was in striking range. And it was just a matter of Probabil was going to have a big kick. Well, she had a good kick, Probabil, but it was just not enough to hold off Natoya. Quantum Mechanic, just keep marvelling at her. As Michael Kent Jr. said yesterday, started the preparation as a 69 raider. She was a 102 going into that yesterday, and now a Group 1 place getter. Colette ran on well. Vangelic ran well. The Gay Waterhouse horses always run well in this race every year. And Starrell, again, just got held up ever so slightly at about the 200, and she ran a good race. And I think she's progressing quite well for Danny O'Brien.
From Stephen via the SMS, Dino. Thanks for your contribution, Stephen. Did Kieran get busy too early on Probabil? 5 weeks between runs might have proved significant.
It's a fine line, isn't it? I mean, I thought he probably got her into the race, cranked her up. I think probably at about the 200, he'd have been fairly confident he'd done enough to win. And I couldn't really criticise her. When she's on song, Natoya, we're looking at Natoya, who's won a Doncaster, Probabil, who's won an Epsom. So they're two gun mares at the mile at Randwick. And ultimately, there wasn't much between them.
Your take on this race, Dan?
Yeah, I must admit, I thought Kieran, it was a pretty confident ride because when he did come up, he had to put her under pressure and she did respond. There was probably that 50 metres where you're thinking, is she going to respond? And she did, and she was strong. And of course, the only horse, if you're on Probabil, that was capable of running her down is Natoya, who has now won 6 races at Randwick. And as Dean said, over the mile, she just loves the big track and the 1600 metres. And sure enough, she had the strength to finish over the top. Probabil, good. Quantum Mechanic, as you said, she'd have to be the most improved mare going around to where she has got to. Different for her stablemate, Odium. She stood in the gates, missed the start. I think Stewart's had a look to see whether she was denied a fair start or not. Obviously, she wasn't. Bad habit for her. She was the second favourite in the race, and her race effectively was over before it began, and she finished out the back.
Ray Thomas indicating that there was some discussion yesterday about the track rating being given out as a good 4 at Randwick, Dean. And Wayne from Oakley has chimed in. Thank you, Wayne, a regular contributor. We know where you were yesterday. I understand a good 4 track rating these days is described as track with some give in it. Clearly New South Wales have a liberal approach to some give. Do you think Randwick was a good 4 yesterday? What feedback were you getting, Dino?
Well, it's got to be borderline, between 4 and 5, and I'd have been erring saying it's close to a 5. The irrigating 24 hours out was an interesting one on a track that's not renowned for being able to bounce back off any sort of rain, and there was a little bit of mist around yesterday. So I certainly think you could tell early in the day that there was a bit of give out of the track, and there were many of the connections saying that that was what they were looking for with regard to horses that preferred that sort of going.
Do you have a thought on that, on the way the track played yesterday, Dan?
Well, it's interesting just hearing Tom Marquand talk about Adabe, and the track was had a bit more given it than he'd expected. And even for a horse like Graceful Glamour, who I think is the perfect gauge for those sorts of track, perfect gauge for a good 4 and a soft 5, because we know she needs it firm. And the stewards, the connections after the race reported that she needs a firmer surface. So she raced on a good 4. But obviously it had a bit more given it than that. But Graceful Glamour's connection said that the track was just a little bit too wet for her. So go figure.
The Sydney Cup was a good race for Chris Waller with the import in the OTI colour. Salino was also a good day. Good race for the Stewart family. Ron aboard and Matty backing it.
Salino makes the move a long way out, draws 2 lengths clear. Rondinella's coming out of the pack, then Southern France down the outside. Miami Bound running on, getting past Sound. It's Salino in front. Rondinella's a length away. Salino from Rondinella. They're clearing the Sydney Cup. Salino kept going from Rondinella, and Salino takes it out. Salino by a length in the Cup beat Rondinella. Miami Bound a third. A gap back.
All with yourself and Michael Felgate yesterday. Dan, Matty Stewart was talking up the chances of Salino in the Cup. Have you been able to have any contact with him since?
I got a text message back, and I said, I hope you filled up. And the text message back was the icons or emojis of cash. And they were emojis. They weren't real cash. So how much, I'm not sure. But good on him. He was tipping it earlier on in the week, and it started around the $26 mark. It was an emphatic win, too, because it came up 4-5 wide, building a run, and then sustained it and opened up a clear break halfway up the straight. I'm not saying at any stage it didn't look like that something else might get him, but Salino was always a length and a half in front as they strung it over the last 200. Rondinella, Miami Bound, all good. She's ideal. Probably got held up slightly on the turn, and Realm of Flowers does what she does. But look, Salino, yeah, that was a terrific staying performance. Had the weight advantage on a few there, and he peaked on the right day, and another terrific staying win for the OTI syndicate.
Did you see the Sydney Cup, Dean?
Yeah, all the horses coming off the chairman's, which was such a, we spoke about it last week, run at such a fierce speed. And Rondinella was the other one, and Salino, they ran second and fourth. And yesterday they've run the Quinella, so they had that good grounding for the tough 3,200 metres. And, yeah, Ronnie Stewart sort of used the 50 kilos, got going early, and he just kept going. He's a very dour stayer. I remember sort of assessing him when he first came to Australia, and I just thought he might be even a little bit slow for even a two-mile race. But yesterday with the lightweight, he got going, and, yeah, another training triumph for Chris Waller, who's just built his form all the way through. He started his preparation trialling down at Geelong back in late January, and has just kept building from there.
It wasn't a Group 1 at this stage, or it isn't a Group 1, Dean, the Arrowfield Sprint. Wild Ruler holding off Isotope. I know you were thinking Prague had a good chance. He's got a habit of being a little bit slowly away. It was a thrilling contest. How did you see that, the Arrowfield?
Yeah, well, I think it's if there is going to be a three-year-old race at 1,200 that ends up Group 1, this has got to be it. It's got a great honour roll, and it's a, you know, it's a good championship race on the championship's two-weekend program. And Wild Ruler, yeah, he got the right run and won. Isotope was terrific. She weaving through and just missed. And, yeah, Prague, he just got that awkward habit of missing the start, and it cost him yesterday. He got to the outside and he wound up as, you know, I thought he would. And the Newmarket form, you know, with Prague and Amish Boy finishing well ahead of September run, exactly what they did in the Newmarket. They ran to that form line.
Do you have a thought on this race, Dan?
I thought the winner was terrific. I mean, I liked Isotope, and I thought she had her chance once she got clear. Wild Ruler, considering he was wide without cover, and gave his all to win it narrowly, terrific. It was good to see that three-year-old form stand up. I think at different stages through the season, we didn't think the three-year-old depth was really there, but it has been, I think, come the autumn. And I think it's just a matter of time. I think there's X amount of years before a race can get to be catalogued as a Group 1. But as a million-dollar race, it's pretty much, it's $1.10 chance. And in the next couple of years that it would get to that status. I mean, it carried the same prize money as the time-honoured classic blue ribbon Australian Oaks. It's also $1 million. So when you think of that, it's got to be a Group 1 soon enough. Winner terrific. In fact, an excellent bunch of three-year-olds there, and horses like a Prague, maybe even an Isotope, if they're able to go on through the Brisbane Winter Carnival, they could be a Stradbroke winner. There are good races for them going forward. And even Wild Ruler, I don't know where his ceiling is going to be, but I think he's a little underrated as well. To come from the outside gate, sit wide, probably doesn't really want further than 1,200, but a really good bunch of three-year-olds. And even Amish Boy continues to race well, doesn't he? And even though he's only won the one race, again, there could well be a big win in him in the future as also.
Is there anything else on the card throughout that program at Randwick, Dan, that you think we can take note of, perhaps even horses that might be heading to Queensland or just in the weeks ahead in Sydney?
Well, I'd say Converge, after taking out the first, likely to be backing up in the Champagne next week. I really like the way this horse has come to hand with no animo there. He comes right into the fore, and I'd say there'd be quite a few horses. Ellsberg would certainly be a horse that would be going to Brisbane. He might also be a, if not a Guineas type of horse there, a Stradbroke even. I thought he was just ultra impressive in taking out the second. So they're the two. They're both last start winners, but Converge and Ellsberg, I think they can win again this prep.
Anything else across the card take your eye, Dean?
Oh, I was pleased that Crystal Bound ran well, Warren. She ran very fast time at Moonee Valley, and there was obviously I thought she was on the very fast ground that night and in the best part of the track, but she stood up yesterday. Najmati didn't quite, and I think Crystal Bound's got a very big future going forward. She looked a little bit lighter yesterday, so might be getting the back end of it for now, but I think we'll see a pretty good filly with her in the spring.
General one from Paul from Adelaide, experiencing something that that everybody who follows racing as a tipster or a punter experiences. Morning all, trust you are well. As professional tipsters and punters, what do you do when your punting gods are not smiling on you? Yesterday, 6 seconds in Sydney from 7 bets, 3 seconds at Caulfield. Any advice to Paul from Adelaide, Dino?
I don't ask me. I'm going horribly. So I was going to ask Paul, actually. So, you have those sort of runs. The last three Saturdays at Caulfield haven't treated me kindly, that's for sure.
I suppose in real terms, I mean, if you need to be playing within your means, which hopefully Paul and everybody is, but you stick to your process. If you're confident with your process, you don't always get it right, but he's obviously close to the mark with 6 seconds from 7 bets. So hopefully if he's confident, Dan, in his methods and his selections, and he's happy that he's coming up with the right horses, he maybe just didn't have luck on his side, then he's got to stick to his guns. I suppose you just got to have confidence in the way that you approach your selections and make sure you stick to something that you think's working for you, Dan.
I think the greatest concern is if you're driving a car and you need fuel in the tank, don't you? You run out of fuel, you can't be competitive. And it's a bit like your punting bank. If you equate that to fuel and you run out of it, you've got no chance. I sympathise. Isotope, Probabil, Bo Rossa, they hurt me. It sounds like he might have been on those three as well. And particularly when they're in photo finishes and you miss the bob a number of times during the day, you just got to put it down to it's not your day.
Yes, it can often be the case. 23 after 9 on RSN 927. Owners and Breeders Race Day at Caulfield, our focus after this break.
Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs Treble. First leg quaddy fail? It's treble time. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858. On RSN's Correct Weight, the Racing Review.
In the straight, Starry Legend at the 250. Finance Tycoon moves up to him. Scissor Step back to the inside. And Arcaded is late. But Finance Tycoon at the 150 has drawn away. Finance Tycoon, 3 legs, 4 legs for Luke Nolan. And Finance Tycoon wins it easily for the Big Million. Second Literary Magnate from Scissor Step for fourth. Arcaded, Starry Legend.
4.5 the final margin. Matty Hill right on the ball there and well supported in the $3.20 favourite at the jump was Finance Tycoon. Dino, how did you see the showdown?
Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Warren, it was just good to see our best 2-year-old form stand up. With the 2-year-olds, it's a moving feast and it can be for the right time in mid to late February that the Blue Diamond horses stand up. But this is a horse that was at the start of the season running well. He ran well at the Magic Millions without luck. He was terrific in the Blue Diamond and he got a big win yesterday and deservedly so. And it was a high-pressure race. Starry Legend went out at a very, very fast speed and Finance Tycoon, probably the seasoned 2-year-old for that sort of pressure. He was terrific to the line and just, trying to compare the pressure of the race. I think Starry Legend went out, now thanks to daily sectional times, about 5 lengths above standard. And when you think back to the Blue Diamond, Enthahar, the first 400 was about a length and a half above standard. That shows how fast they went out of the gates yesterday.
Rider Michael D, aboard Starry Legend, noted to the stewards that he might have come to the end of its preparation, had a slow recovery when examined by vets post-race, and John Sadler advising that the colt would now be spelled. So plenty to work with, Dan, but yesterday was just a bit too much for Starry Legend.
Gee, he was a big drifter, guys. It was alarming, really, wasn't it, considering the price he was once the fields come out. He was around the $2.80 mark, got out to $6 and even beyond in some bidding agencies as well. He still gave a good sight. He still hung on to run fourth. I thought arcaded. I see Jamie Carr thought maybe the track was a bit too firm, knowing that the track had been upgraded from a 4 to a 3, and as a result, there was a couple of late scratchings. Arcaded ran fifth. Thought Rasheen is a nice type. I thought a solid run. There's a race for Rasheen, maybe even at 1,400 metres. Matteo Ma was okay. Tramontane is a nice type, probably a little disappointing yesterday. But there's some nice enough horses behind the winner. The winner's a top-level horse. I think we'd agree that we'd expect to see him in the higher-ranked three-year-old races come the spring. He didn't have the most favourable barrier, but, gee, he settled so well on the run. He's got a bit of class about him, and I think he can go on and win a much better race. The way he's come through his two-year-old season, I think the best of him we saw was yesterday.
One via the SMS, Dino, just indicating they thought the inside was a bit like quicksand at Caulfield yesterday. How did you see the track playing?
I didn't have that feeling at all, but that race, for some reason, they did get off the rail coming to the turn, but I thought most of the day the inside, you know, there was a couple that weakened, Ancestry, etc., but the horses playing closer to the rail did pretty well.
You see the track playing, Dan?
Yeah, I'm a bit similar to Dean. I think in previous couple of weeks, with the rail out, the horses were coming from away from the fence. But yesterday, and most of the races had fairly genuine tempos. So, I mean, La Mexicana got up on the inside. We had later on in the day, well, Finance Tycoon was up on the speed, obviously away from the fence. Sistar just off it. And obviously Thousand Wishes drew barrier number one. So if there was a race where they were going to get right away from the rails, you would have thought it was the last race. And yet the horses that were closer to the speed, and even Don't Tell the Boss in the last race, which we'll get to at some stage, guys, came from last. And the only way it could really get a run through the field was because everything was one or two off, and it's nearly won the race. So, and Good and Proper was the other one at drew barrier number two. So I, you know, if there was a slight negative, it may be 0.1%, but overall I thought Caulfield raced pretty fairly.
Finance Tycoon taking out the showdown. Dino, it was almost trademark Luke Nolan from another era for Peter Moody stable, wide barrier draw, the shoot start at Caulfield and just take luck out of the equation and just roll forward. Probably a good pilot for that type of task from a wide draw.
Yeah, it's not a huge disadvantage, that wide draw at the 1200. It was just how it's set up. But when they just strung out that nice amount, he got into a really good rhythm and a good, you know, it was, as you said, a little bit of a step back in time. Literary Magnet's the other one I'd want to mention. I think she's a nice filly, because the fillies, to be honest, haven't been as good as the colts all season, and Arcaded and Sliders proved that again yesterday, that were relatively in the betting, but Literary Magnet certainly stood up. So against the males, she ran very well.
An anchor for many on the day was Mahamadeus in the first, over 2,000 metres, the Vobis Gold Heath.
Moonlight Maid sustains the run into the straight, went to the lead from Queen Ladiva, and they were followed by Barry the Baptist, declares war from Mahamadeus. Moonlight Maid, she's been tough, now Barry the Baptist getting closer, Mahamadeus running on, Johan Doe is bursting for a run, but Barry the Baptist at the 100, Mahamadeus wearing him down, Mahamadeus takes the lead, Mahamadeus a half Barry the Baptist, and Johan Doe a tragedy third. Then came Moonlight Maid.
Well, he got the money, but Dan, there might have been some hard luck stories behind the short price favourite.
Well, that's true too, but he just makes his own luck. He settled in front of a few, Mahamadeus. He's got a good record on this day. He put the writing on the wall the start before. So I think from a punting perspective, or for most punters, the day started off really well. Barry the Baptist, he hasn't won in a long time, but you get the feeling a win's not too far away. He was really good. Johan Doe was the unlucky runner that you'd be referring to. She just ran up behind them, and with momentum, with these sort of staying type of horses, they really just can't afford to be held up, and she was, but she hit the line well. She's in a rich vein of form. Moonlight Maid started to pull a bit once she got up outside of the leader. I thought she was pretty solid. And Tarn's Prince wasn't a bad run for a horse that should be looking for 22 to 2400 now. Fanciful Toff pulled up with a possible throat irregularity. He missed the kick. He just didn't want to be there. Mahamadeus is a very professional racehorse, and he was terrific yesterday. And in winning, he pushed his prize money well over $1 million.
Great start for the formula bit, Dino. Unfortunately, Paul's Regret running well, but running second later on in the day. How did you see the win of Mahamadeus?
I thought it was a win of real courage, Warren, because he was off the bit coming to the turn, and it had been a high-pressure race, which he does like because he likes to fight. And I think Nick Ryan's point, speaking with you earlier, was very valid that he might be looking for further now. And that was, you know, he just did it on a bit of class and a bit of heart there the last little bit. It was a good win. It was a really high-pressure race. Probably expected that they'd go along at a good gallop with Queen Ladiva and the likes. But when Moonlight Made, with the earmuffs off, over race and push forward, you know, they've run in about 8 lengths above standard the first 1,200 metres. So it was a really good gallop, and it suited Mahamadeus. Johan Doe's been leading in those low-pressure races at Sandown, but couldn't get to that spot yesterday and ultimately got, as the reference, been held up. It ran very, very well. She's in career best form, and you know, there's a win for her pretty soon again.
Mahamadeus may be on the way to Queensland for the Nick Ryan stable. Nick was in form. He settled up Dice Roll, having his first run for the stable in the second.
Then came Dice Roll, roused along, fourth out, three wide from My Gold Bracelet, a gap Mr. Tipler, Kent Street, Jittery Jackal, Mighty Will under the whip, Somerset Maugham, and then Connery and Vongalay, Witchful thinking the first to straighten, but it's a long straight at the 200 metres, she's getting weary, she's 2 lengths, Mr. Tipler, Vungers, and then Dice Roll the outside, Witchful thinking, grabbed by Mr. Tipler, Vungers and Dice Roll, Vungers just in front, Dice Roll lunges, and one, stuck the big head out and beat Vungers and Mr. Tipler.
And great training performance from Nick Ryan, Dan, having a horse new to his stable, been in work about 18 weeks, he was telling me this morning, so a very thorough preparation, great training effort.
It was a great training effort. Consider that the horse went to Hong Kong, had 12 starts there and never ran a place. In fact, he was closer to legless than being competitive. He's a lovely type of horse, a lovely style of horse, and even as Matty Hill just said, he stuck his big head out. It's a long head with a blaze. Look, if he can stay together, he hadn't raced for a long time, and well done to Nick. I'm sure he'd be pretty proud of his training achievement there. We didn't get this a lot of Dice Roll before the trial. Thankfully, we did see him trial because he was in a jump out prior, and he threw the rider. So having a horse like that seemed like, A, he was out of form. He'd obviously had some injury issues. And then he's throwing the rider in the jump outs. It's all come together on race day. And there was a good enough push there for him, guys. He trialled up really well. He paraded really well yesterday. He's quite a nice horse, which is rather perplexing as to why he was so poor in his Hong Kong days.
It looked like they were running along here. Dino, what does the clock tell us?
Yes, well, one was anyway, and that was Witchful Thinking. Once she got rolling, she was a bit of a runaway train, and so the first 600 metres, she was about 7 lengths above standard. That's she was going sort of Rupert Clark stakes speed. The rest of the field weren't. The main group sat 7 or 8 lengths off her, and ultimately, the stylist was the one doing the card up. But it was a real race of attrition, so you'd think a horse first up off such a long break might have been vulnerable. So this was a really great training performance and should be acknowledged that way, because that horse was fit enough to be the toughest at the finish.
Stuart spoke to Matty Cartwright, who rode Witchful Thinking, who's generally an on-pace mare, and he was instructed to roll forward, set a reasonable speed, and hopefully prevent the mare from over-racing. But she got keen, and he stated in the Stewards report that despite his efforts to ease the speed, he wasn't able to bring her back, Dean. And that can just happen. Sometimes the horse can just take charge.
Well, yeah, they're 500 kilos. If they want to do it, they'll beat the jockey every time. And she was often running. I think it was probably a little bit detrimental to Spring Choice second up off such a long spell. But he toughed it out okay. And as I said, it became a stayers race. So Adrian McGregor's horse, Approach Discreet, was well suited, ducking and weaving through, terrific return, and we know he's better on softer ground and over further, so there's a good campaign looming for Approach Discreet.
Terrific training performance, Nick Ryan, the first two winners, but in particular Dice Roll after such a long break first run for the stable. Bo Rosser was a short price favourite, but easy in the market, out to 1,600 metres in the third.
That's High Resolution comes around the corner as they reach the 350 with Helmet on. Air Defence three wide and Ripperita four wide. Bo Rossa behind them from Miss In Between. Ripperita went for home. 200 metres to go. Led a length and a half to Bo Rossa. Favourite has a fight on its hands. Ripperita three quarters. Bo Rossa picking it back. Ripperita a half length. Bo Rossa. Ripperita. Bo Rossa's diving now. It's going to be close. Ripperita's held Bo Rossa, I'd say, from Miss In Between.
Narrow margin here, Dino. What did you make of the way this race panned out?
Yes, in recent weeks we've been lauding Jamie's riding. This time it was Jamie Mott. This was a fantastic ride, I thought, on Ripperita. It was a very gentle tempo. It was the slowest tempo run race of the day, and it was just a building speed. But what Jamie Mott did was build his revs at the right time and just get around the favourite, get rolling, and pinch that brake. Bo Rossa, look, it was a big money race yesterday, and that was a real chance, but I don't know if he'll be asked to run over 1,600 very many times in his career, and he only just missed. He was in front before the line and probably after the line, so he ran well, and a good run from Miss In Between. She got held up. I just think she battles to run a strong 1,600 as well, so a few of these were well advantaged by the slow tempo of the race, but the smart ride on Ripperita got the money.
Dino, giving up plaudits there to Jamie Mott. How did you see the race, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. From the outside gate as well at the mile. They're tough barriers to think it out right. And she settled well. She was able to just settle that little bit further back, but three wide with cover. And she's got that bit of acceleration. There's plenty of her. She's a very strong filly, obviously peaked, and she's pretty good. We saw enough of her in the spring to know that be the case. As Dean said, all the first three, you just wonder that whether they could get beyond 1,600. I'd say it's unlikely. Bo Rossa got out in time, more edged away. Obviously, if the bob had gone, the punting gods for the favourite backers, it might have got the bob in, but I tell you, there was a horse in the race that I didn't mind the run of was French Moon. I didn't think it had a lot of luck. Jamie Carr got suspended for careless riding here as a result of French Moon getting a bit of a check at the 400. But I still thought he picked up only second run in a race and he was pretty good. So he might want more than a mile. Till It's Over looks like a staying type of filly. Air Defence might have had some excuses, three wide without cover. The start was interesting, guys, for two runners. Black Pen knuckled over at the start, but more so Moral Force, who seemed to jump okay and then just lose his footing, and he almost fell as well, and there was a bit of money for him, and as a result he really wasn't competitive enough. He over-raced, fired right up and over-raced, so it might be a forgive run for him, Moral Force, but I quite like the run of French Moon. He might be one to follow, given that that was only his second run. He might actually be able to come back in grade again now.
Yeah, post-race veteran examination, nothing amiss with Moral Force, but as you said, Dan, probably just a complete forgive. And Jamie Carr's suspension, she will start it after the Anzac Day meeting at Flemington a week from today. It's a total of 10 race meetings, one metropolitan meeting. Jamie Carr will miss with that suspension commencing after the Anzac Day meeting at Flemington. Dino, didn't get your take on French Moon, that interference, the 400-metre mark. What did you make of French Moon's run?
Yeah, he picked up okay after that, and he ran quite well. He's a horse that, to me, looks very immature. I think he's going to improve with time, so whatever he does this time in is a bit of a bonus, and going forward, he probably got a little bit of a future, but I think time will be his best friend just to mature out.
Willie Pike had a day out at Caulfield again yesterday. He was aboard Sosie Bon for the Lindsay Park operation in the fourth.
Sosie Bon around the turn at the 350, cuddled in the lead by two lengths to Gold Fields. Then Mr. Quickie out wide with also Galaxy Raider. It's Sosie Bon, 200 metres to go, 2.5 Mr. Quickie and also Galaxy Raider. Sosie Bon, 100 metres to go, still two lengths Mr. Quickie, and Sosie Bon is going to win the race twice. Sosie Bon from Mr. Quickie, Galaxy Raider third, Credence a good pipe over.
Well, Dan, it looked a tactical race with the field size going into it. How did you see it unfold?
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty competitive the first couple of 100 metres. We were a bit worried about where the pace is going to come from, but there was just enough of it to give, I think, nearly every horse a chance. Willie Pike, though, he'd had his mind made up pretty pretty early that Sosie Bond was the right horse to have up on the speed. And he has. He's been in lots of battles, hasn't he? He's a very experienced horse. He's shown that he's been pretty tough, much maligned earlier on in his career. But I think once he was gelded, he's been far more consistent and competitive at the highest level as well. So he was able to then dictate, and he showed his wares. He was too strong. Mr. Quickie, solid, as he often is. And beyond that, Galaxy Raider, I think, ran well. He's probably better suited with a bigger field and more genuine tempo than what he got yesterday, but I think he's come back well. Credence okay for further, and Geoconoclasm put in a shocker. But, I think the race revolved around W. Pike, and he's starting to build up a bit of an affinity with Caulfield now. His strike rate there the last few visits is exceptional.
Yeah, I think he just likes racetracks, W. Pike, but you're right, he's building up a real affinity with Caulfield. Regarding Iconoclasm, Dan, a post-race veterinary examination revealed no abnormalities, and Damien Lane could offer no explanation for the performance. Your take on this race, Dean?
It was good to see Sosie Bond be able to ride the speed, do his own thing, and kick away and win, because often Mark Zara's referred to it, that you just got to time his run right to hit the line, get there right on the line. But yesterday he did his own thing, and he did it well. It was a really comprehensive win. Mr. Quickie ran well. He had a task from a fair way out because of the tempo and the small field and the outer draw, but he ran well. And Galaxy Raider was just a bit flat-footed when they went, but he toughed it out okay late. But, it was sort of smart riding in that they went pretty steady to about the 800, and then it was a really quick ramp-up William Pike. He went from the 1,000 of the 800 and 1,194. He then went 1,138. So he really quickened it up and got a few of those out the back, just out of their comfort zone.
Yesterday, but with an eye to the future and over more ground, what did you make of Credence?
Yep, I'm a fan of Credence. He strikes second up, so for him to run well first up was a good run. I don't know where he's going to go second up. I don't know if he'd even take the challenge of maybe a Warrnambool Cup second up, but whatever he does, he's going to have a good campaign. And it starts from here. He usually takes that one run to get warmed up, and now he becomes a betting prospect.
The Vobis Gold Dash for the three-year-olds over 1,100 metres. There was good money for La Mexicana on the fresh side.
Dark Horse, the first to Streeton, led by a length two in second, Bella Nipotina. Then came La Mexicana, who presents two off the lead from Capriccio Valaquenta. Then River Knight, Shelby Cobra, and the Big Easy. It's Bella Nipotina at the 150. La Mexicana drops on it, though. La Mexicana takes the lead. The Big Easy flashing home, but La Mexicana won it from a head bobber, Valaquenta, or the Big Easy. Foulmaster doing a bit late in a photo for four.
Yeah, plenty to look at here. You could even hear it in the call, Dan, with Matty Hill picking up Vowmaster running through the line, the Big Easy finding the line. But, gee, there's a good affinity between La Mexicana and Jamie Carr.
Gates as well. And from another good gate, she was able to get into a good spot. It's got that turn of foot, which she was able to use and go from a possible winning chance to a definite winning chance at about the 250. She was off a fresh and building up a really good record, good enough that they tested her at Group 1 at her previous start. I thought Bella Nipotina coming around the turn was probably looking the winner. It's hard to imagine that she was going to miss a place even at the 200-metre mark, but such were the runs of the Big Easy, who was very unlucky. He's come from virtually on the rails back about third last at the 300 to switch all across heels, get to the outside and then pick up. It was very much the eye catcher. But having said that, Vowmaster picked up. He was good through the line. We talked to Chris Waller yesterday, Michael Felgate, Matt Stewart and myself. He referred to Vowmaster as a naughty boy. He wasn't a big fan of this horse and said he's got a fair bit to learn. But there was a bit to like about his run yesterday. He was picking up really strongly late nearer the inside. I think it was a bit of a ride him cold, just make him find the line. And if it wasn't for being held up, he could well have got closer from about the 200. Valaquenta, look, can't really find an excuse for him yesterday. He was pretty solid. And I think there, Shelby Cobra, I'm forgiving. I just think first up, he got exposed a bit too early from his whitish gait. So, and also he's going to be slightly better as he gets up to 12 and then 1400 metres. So I reckon this, the form is going to stand up. The Big Easy and obviously Vowmaster, if you dare to have another crack at him, La Mexicana will go on. She's got the record to prove it. And Shelby Cobra, the other one that I'd continue to follow.
Adelaide's interested in Shelby Cobra, wanting to know if we're going to see him at Morfordville. Our producer and host of Sunday Central this morning, Matt Nevitt, has been in contact with the Moroney stable. Bill, no firm plans yet as to where they go with Shelby Cobra. Dino, how did you see this race?
Yeah, she's a winner, La Mexicana. That's the big difference. She finds a way to win, and that was a good effort. The Big Easy was interesting. Kira May yesterday on the first word saying that there's a really good race in this horse, because you wouldn't think that he's got that sort of profile, but he keeps running a big late sectional, and in fact, he ran the best last 200 of the meeting. So, yeah, he's certainly obviously got that sort of talent that he shows the stable, and when he puts it all together, he might win a nice race. Valaquenta, Honesta. Thou Master, look, he's just a work in progress. I think he ran really well yesterday, and had he got a clear run at them, which was always going to be hard, he'd have gone close, but that might be him. And Bella Nipotina, she doesn't shorten up like that usually. She doesn't win out of turn, obviously. She's only won one race, but she shortened right up late, and I just wonder if she was a little bit of a victim of the firm ground, or she just wasn't quite right, because as Dan said, you couldn't envisage her not running a place. And she can usually go to the line pretty well, and she really, you know, her action shortened up late. And Shelby Cobra, for our listener, he did a lot of work from the 600 to the 200 and just peaked on his run, but his sectional times through that from the 600 to the 200 was a good effort.
Nothing from the stewards report regarding Bella Nipotina. Hopefully all is okay there, but certainly a below expectation and a below standard finish from Bella Nipotina. Sistar for the McAvoy stable with Willie Pike aboard served it up to Ancestry in race 7.
Up towards the corner at Sistar by about a half length to Ancestry. Sword of Mercy right there, poised a length and a half away. Then Reykjavik, Mossman Gorge from Liar Bumper Blast. Ruby Saki a long way back, and Prophet's Thumb the widest. Sistar and Ancestry together as they reach the 200. Sword of Mercy on the outside, followed by Reykjavik. Sistar with 100 metres to go. Sword of Mercy not there yet. Still Sistar. Sistar punched out by Pikey. Won it from a photo. Liar or Sword of Mercy for fourth, Reykjavik Prophet's Thumb.
A couple of late scratchings throughout the day, Dino, with the firming ground and Alpha Oro, one of them out of this race. How did you see the win of Sistar?
Yeah, well, she did a good job. They didn't go that hard, even though they're speed horses, Ancestry and Sistar. They went nowhere near as hard as, say, Ancestry did in a race like the Oakley Plate, or even when he won the Able Stakes. So she got fired up in the first 300 or 400 metres, and I thought, well, this is going to be fairly detrimental to her, but she's building a good winning profile, Sistar, and she was too good again. Liar ran well. That's her, though, that she can't really sprint, but she just keeps building her speed, and that's what she did, getting through the pack and running well. Sword of Mercy was there to win. I thought she ran an honest race. Reykjavik was a good first up run. Prophet's Thumb went back to her old ways yesterday. She missed the start. We lauded Jamie Carr for getting her into a positive spot in the Rubiton Stakes and getting her out of the gates yesterday. She just didn't begin. She was on the back foot, and she was out of position. She ran well, but that was why she hasn't won a lot in recent times, because she has that habit of missing the start, and yesterday she was back to it.
Thoughts here, Dan?
Well, Willie Pike, he looked like he was a bit of a passenger in the first couple of 100 metres, but then he just let her go, and gee, she was strong. Sword of Mercy got a similar run to what she got last start. She was solid. I thought Ruba Saki, not saying she would have won, but she would have got closer. I think there was a bit of an intent. She wanted to find the line. She got held up. The run wasn't there at about the 400, but she was the widest on the track late, and she closed off well. Mossman Gorge, he's getting into a bit of a habit of missing the kick, and I think he just needs to sit that little bit closer. He was terrific in the race that Sistar won at the Valley. Wouldn't give up on him, but maybe dropping back in class. Liar, well, every time she goes round, you can still get a collect by backing a horse to run a place, and she's going well. She'll probably surprise everyone soon enough at 20-1 or so, but I thought she's racing well. Winner was just, in the end, too slick. She's a pretty good mare, as she's shown this preparation, and just with the magic of W. Pike, he was able to get the best out of her at the point of the race that was most important, and that was coming up to the turn. When you've got pace like that to put on outside of Ancestry, you know you must be pretty quick, and she was in a sprint race, and she used her assets in the end to win it, and win it pretty convincingly.
Maybe even adding more merit to the win of Sistar. Michael Poy pleaded guilty to a charge of careless riding for causing interference aboard Ancestry to Sistar at about the 1,000-metre mark, just having caused her to sort of check and get off heel. So perhaps adding even a little bit more merit to the win of Sistar. Willie Pike having a day out at Caulfield. He was aboard Laverod in race 8.
Up towards the corner at the 400 metres, it's Felicia and Paul's Regret. They've been at each other's throats from the start by a length and a half to Howomatic, who has the drop on those from Sam's Image, and then Laverod presenting, and back behind them, Golden Halo. Felicia, Paul's Regret at the 200 metres, stride for stride. Laverod a length and a half away. Paul's Regret just in front. Laverod's the threat. Paul's Regret. Now Laverod drops on it. Laverod takes the lead and powers away. Laverod won the sprint from Paul's Regret. Felicia and Design Rouge up for four.
Just back to the previous race, Warren from Vermont. Good to see Ruby Saki back, as you were saying, Dan. But this race, what did you make of the win of Laverod with Willie Pike aboard following that that win at Mornington with the same combination?
Yeah, look, just dominant. He won it like a horse that was a class above his rivals yesterday. The mares were good, Paul's Regret fresh, and likewise Felicia. I think they've run up to their previous form. Laverod seems to have gone to a new level. With some concerns, I guess, that he was rising so much in weight, but he's a big, powerful horse. When he settled in the run, never look like it was going to be an issue, the weight. It was a confident ride from W. Pike. He won like a horse that'll get to group level, Laverod. Big turnaround on the day. He got beaten at Echuca, but he led on that occasion. And his last couple, he's come from off the pace. He's clearly a bit better coming from off the pace, at the top of his game now. And, well, as I said, he was a dominant winner. One horse I didn't mind the run of going forward is Yulong January. I thought it was a decent return. He'll get better once he gets to 1400, where he can race up closer to the pace. So that's my horse to follow coming out of that race. Look, Lord Von Costa, okay, probably down the straight there might be a race for him. Winner, I just thought on reflection, was just far too good, too classy.
Dean, how'd you see this race?
Yeah, look, he was too good on the day. He had an absolutely beautiful run. He was in the sweet spot. They didn't go overly hard. I think the surprise here was that how Amanda took a sit on such a gentle speed. I think she's better close to her top from a long way out, and that's what she proved in the Hariba when she ran well. Yesterday she was behind them and had to sprint, and she just can't do that. So she looked, in essence, disappointing, how Amanda, but I don't think that's her race sort of structure. Whereas Laverod just blended into the race. Paul's Regret ran well. Felicia ran well. Dan spotted Yulong January. It was a really lovely run. He's a 1,400-metre on-pace horse that likes to dictate. He can hit form pretty quickly, so it might even be next run 1,400 where he can get his own way. He might be hard to beat next time out.
In the last 1,000 wishes, improved on an already impressive second-up record.
So it's I Am Eloquent and Mamzelle Tess together as they reach the 250,000 wishes. Out of a pocket is now moving up very quickly. 1,000 wishes moves up to I Am Eloquent. Don't tell the boss late. 1,000 wishes, 50 metres to go, is holding on. And 1,000 wishes won it from Don't Tell the Boss Good and Proper and I Am Eloquent. Next bonds are broad and sword.
How'd you see this race, Dean?
The horses that like a really low pressure scenario got it here, Warren. I'm Eloquent led and went about 7 lengths below standard, so they just went a really gentle speed. And the horses with the big change-up speed are 1,000 wishes, Don't Tell the Boss. They were well-suited, Good and Proper. Some of the best sectionals of the day were run in this race. Lunacorns ran down the track but ran the second-best last 200 of the meeting. Ruby Skies finished well back, ran the sixth-best last 200. Shazade ran the seventh-best last 200, and they finished down the track. So it was a real dash home, and it's that scenario suited 1,000 wishes beautifully from the draw. Even though Don't Tell the Boss missed the start and was back, that's her best race structure, and she ran well. I'm Eloquent led, battled on okay, but, yeah, I think more run-of-race stuff here, that they went so slowly and it was just a dash home.
Your take on the last, Dan?
Yeah, as Dean said, the 1,000 wishes is exactly that sort of horse. Had the right run, was box seating, but was able to come around the lead two at the top of the straight. I'm Eloquent kicked on pretty well. It had that inside running, but it's as they came around that bend, they were getting one to two horses away from the rail, and that's what helped Don't Tell the Boss come from last on the rails to weave through and get pretty close in the end there. So good to see that she might be close to another win, Don't Tell the Boss, because she'd It's funny, her trial, she looked good in her trial, but she missed the kick about five lengths in the trial. And similarly, slow out yesterday, but she did finish off really well. I thought Bonds Abroad under the circumstances wasn't a bad run, but these usual suspects, they'll probably clash again soon. A few different barrier draws, and I think we'll see a few different results. Lunacorn, from a punter's perspective, as she gets back, she's always going to be that hard horse to follow. More genuine tempo helps her. Her stablemate, Shazade, is probably looking for a wet track. Mamsel Test, that's the one. Look, she seemed like she was better yesterday, but as Dean said, there wasn't a lot of speed on and she was still giving ground late. So I still think there's a question mark on where she might be at this stage of her career.
Stakes racing in Adelaide yesterday, Dino. A lot of expectation about Steinem heading over there from the wider barrier draw. What did you make of her run behind Taish Goddess?
Look, I thought she ran pretty well, really. Tai Chi Goddess got a beautiful run through from Barrier 1. Thomas Stockdale getting his first group winner. And Steinem went around them. I think if the horse, Miss Gobkane, had just taken her around the turn where she didn't have to peel around it, then she just really slung off the bend and might have won. But she actually had to go a bit wider coming to the turn. And when you're beaten 0.7 of a length, that's probably enough to say that... that was the reason she was defeated. You'd like to see her draw a better gate in the Oaks. Cerulio Miss ran really well. She's been trending that way. The local Ecumenical ran a terrific race. Perue, we know her. She's had a tough grounding, but she's going well, and she was from a wide draw as well. There wasn't a lot between them. I still probably want to be with Steinem going towards the Oaks. I think Cerulio Miss is a very smart filly for Simon Wilde as well.
How are you reading this race, Dan?
Yeah, I'd say the run of the race is certainly the favourite, but $1.60 drawn barrier 20. It was always in the end barrier 16 with the scratchings, widest on the turn. Terrific effort. She only peaked with about 100 to go, and it's not surprising. Only in her first prep though, so you wonder how far into it that she can get. But she's pretty pretty impressive filly, and the place getters. I mean, the winner's got a Group 2 placing, Wakeful Form. That's a very good form line, and she had a good run through nearer the inside, turning around a bad run. Ecumenical, she's a wonderful filly. She can put in a shocker every now and then, but she'll often turn it around. And Cerulio Miss, as Dean said, she's another really nice type. They look to be the ones going forward to go on towards the Guinea to the Oaks, I'd say, at this stage. So it was a big field, plenty to look at, but I'd say the top four are the four that are on the upward spiral.
Took out the Irwin. Mundasira, Dino, a terrific ride, it looked like, from Jai McNeil, who had a good day on balance in Adelaide. What did you make, Dean, of the win of Mundasira?
Yeah, it came down to run-of-race stuff, Warren. She drew four. There was good speed inside, and it took her far enough. He had to play the angles, get through, and she won. Smoke and Vell was terrific. We know this filly well, and she was huge odds yesterday, and she covered ground and ran really well. Litchfield County ran well after a luckless run last time out. And Instant Celebrity, I think, I just thought that was a pass mark for 1,100-metre race. I was surprised she was early favourite because she's better over a bit further and she was always going to be standing them up at the start. They announced they wanted to ride her closer, but it was always going to be hard for her. And I thought she ran well enough, Instant Celebrity.
Some good racing in Adelaide. And Avantage getting another Group 1 in New Zealand. She was very pleased to see Melody Bell in Australia. Avantage capitalising on the fact that Melody Bell wasn't there. Great racing right around Australia and in New Zealand yesterday. Time to get the boys' take on how to sum it up.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Dino, we'll start with you.
Warren, I thought that the run of the day was Finance Tycoon, and I think the horse to follow is Credence.
I'm pretty much in sync with you, but we'll get Dan Malecki's take there. But before we let you go, Dino, thanks again for all your work this morning. Anything we should be looking at today? There's racing at Pakenham and at Terang. I'll be trackside at Terang for racing.com.
Yeah, it looks a really good meeting too at Terang. But, I'm going there. I'm going to go to race 5, number 3, Dirt on Harry. He's unbeaten to date, and I think he'll make it 3 on end. He's a really nice horse, race 5, number 3.
Dirt on Harry. Great work, Dino. Thanks for all your work this morning and over the weekend. Look forward to hearing more of you throughout the week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Warren.
Dan Malecki, how do you summarise yesterday?
Yeah, I'm a Greens Finance Tycoon. That was a win of a potential Group 1 horse. And the horse to follow, I'd say the Big Easy. I thought he was hard to miss, wasn't he, in the Vobis Gold Dash.
Great work, Dan. Thanks for your contribution this morning. Look forward to hearing you right across all codes throughout the week.
Thank you very much. I loved being on the Sunday morning with you, Warren and Dean, and I look forward to it maybe coming off the bench one time in the near future.
Great to have Dan Malecki as part of the panel. On with Adaev as the run of the day yesterday, taking out the feature race, the Queen Elizabeth, and on with Dino in terms of Credence as a horse to follow. Matt Nevitt's in the chair for a busy, very busy Sunday Central coming after this, and we'll preview the Terang meeting straight after this break with Harry White.